This is the sixth in Bishop John W. Howe's series, Signs and Wonders in the Power of the Spirit. This message is entitled, The Gift of Faith.
We have been studying some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in the New Testament, in particular in 1 Corinthians 12. And the third in that list is the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And I want to suggest to you that in the New Testament there are at least four kinds of faith, and it's important to make some distinctions here. The first you'll find written about in the letter of Jude, little tiny letter just before the Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Jude. And it speaks in verse 3, there's just one chapter here, verse 3 of Jude, it says, Beloved, being very eager to write to you of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the faith, to the saints. Contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. I would call that doctrinal or creedal faith. That's the content of the faith that we believe. A faith which was once delivered. It was given to us by the Lord Jesus himself, by his apostles. It has a content to it. And Jude is saying, I appeal to you to contend for that. It's going to come under attack. People are going to question it. Contend for the truth of the gospel. Contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. You might turn back to 1 Timothy and you see faith spoken of in a similar way. Go back past Hebrews and you'll find Timothy. And 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. He's saying, if I'm delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Do you know that that's what the church is supposed to be? Sometimes it doesn't seem so, but that's what it's called to be, the pillar and the bulwark of the truth of the faith. That's one kind of faith. In the next chapter, 1 Timothy 4:16. He says, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. This is instruction to a young man who is inheriting from St. Paul the responsibilities of pastoring and of oversight in the churches. And he says, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Hold to that, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Take heed to your teaching. And don't just teach it, but live it. Okay? By so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. There's the content of the faith. That's one sense in which it's spoken of. Content, the doctrinal or creedal faith. The second use of the word faith is in terms of the basic trust that we have in God for our salvation. Turn over to Hebrews. That's to the right. We pass that en route to Timothy. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Very, very important statement in the New Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let me back up and read. He's been speaking about faith, and he says in verse 5, by faith, for instance, here's an example, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found. God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God. How do you please God? Tells us in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. What is faith? Well, he defines it. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. The trusting of God with my very life. Wonderful example I heard one time about a novice mountain climber who was out with an expert, a guide, was climbing this mountain, And you know, if any of you have ever done mountain climbing where you're really doing the real thing, you're attached by a rope to the guy who's ahead of you, and your life can literally depend on that person if you miss a step. And he did. And he missed a step as the fog had closed in around them, and he couldn't see anything, couldn't even see the guy that was above him. And he's hanging there from the end of this rope, swinging in midair, can't see a blessed thing, and he says, "Save me, save me." This is a true story. And the guy says to him, "You have swung out over a ledge. It's only about 6 inches under your feet. Cut the rope." Now, do you have faith in your guide or not? I believe that he's there. Are you going to trust him? Are you going to trust him? That's the second kind of faith, the trusting of God. That which pleases God is the kind of searching after him and putting our trust in him. Faith is spoken of as a fruit of the Spirit. And it's interesting because we usually make a distinction between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, right? I mean, that's a theme we've been on for several weeks now. Faith as a fruit of the Spirit is the character of faithfulness. That we become faithful people as we are remolded in the character of Christ, and that's the operation of the Holy Spirit within us. But faith as a gift from God is the fourth sense in which we're using the term, and that's what I wanted to look at tonight. And I'd define it to you this way. Remember that the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural anointings by God, and I would define faith used in this term as a sudden, supernatural surge of confidence that God is going to do something very specific and usually something miraculous. A sudden, supernatural surge of confidence. You can't whip yourself up into believing. You know, I want to believe it hard enough. If you try that, you're going to shipwreck. But if God gives it, it is a supernatural surge of confidence that God is going to do something miraculous. I think we just heard a word of witness about that a moment ago. As she said that God gave her to say to her friend, "You're going to have a baby." And it took a long time. But God proved that word to be a true word. We had the exact same experience in our family. It was with our second child. We had wanted so much to have a brother or a sister to Kathy, and we didn't, and we didn't, and we didn't, and years went by, and God gave to one of our friends a word just like that, "You're going to have a child," and years went by, and we didn't, and we did the same thing, all the tests, and all, you know, couldn't find anything wrong, wasn't any reason why it wasn't happening, but we didn't have a child, and then 7 years later, God gave us Jonathan. Sudden supernatural surge of confidence that God is going to do something. Would you look just at one incident with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Very important story. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 14. When they had come to the disciples, they saw a great crowd about them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a dumb spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." This is one of those instances where there is the appearance of illness, but it's not illness per se. It evidently is an evil spirit who is producing the symptoms of this illness. And as I commented at one point, it's very important that you know which one you're dealing with. Sometimes it's illness and it needs to be treated as illness, and sometimes it may be the manifestation of a spirit. "I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And Jesus answered them, notice this answer, "O faithless generation, How long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has he had this? And he said, from childhood, and it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can. Again, we don't get the emphasis here in the English translation very well. The man is saying, if you can do anything. And Jesus is turning around and saying, if you can. All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you dumb and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out so that the boy was like a corpse. And most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Some translations have by prayer and fasting. How did Jesus deliver that boy? If his rebuke to the disciples was, you were unable to do this because of faithlessness, then I conclude that the way Jesus did what they couldn't do was by faithfulness. Does that follow? If what they were lacking was the gift of faith, and Jesus is able to do what they weren't able to do, then I submit to you that it was the exercise of the gift of faith which enabled him to do that. Yes, of course, it was an exorcism. Yes, it was a healing of those illness symptoms. But the operative gift that made all that possible was the exercise of the gift of faith. When the disciples ask him about it, he elaborates, this kind cannot be driven out except by prayer and fasting, which tells us that faith can be strengthened through those kinds of spiritual disciplines. And, get this, had they developed their faith, they could have done it. Had the father developed his faith, he could have done it. All things are possible to him who believes. And the father's prayer is right on target. Lord, I believe, but I need help. Help thou mine unbelief. Matthew's version of the same story adds this fascinating comment. Jesus says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. A lot of people have misunderstood. There are several phrases in the New Testament like that about the grain of mustard seed faith, and a lot of folks have misunderstood that, and they've seen that as a rebuke to them, that you can't do this because obviously you don't have even the faith of a grain of mustard seed. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if all you had was the grain of mustard seed, you've got much more than that, see. If all you had was the grain of mustard seed faith, that would be enough. If you developed it, prayer and fasting, if you came to him and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, we can strengthen our faith. We can grow in the matter of exercising faith. Book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 3 says, God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. You might jot that down. Romans 12, 3. He's given to every one of us a measure of faith. The issue is not how much faith do you have, but the issue is what do you do with the faith that you have. Hello? Are you with me? Like everything else, use it or lose it. The apostles prayed in Luke chapter 17, increase our faith. The gift of faith can be provoked. I believe it can be given by a word of knowledge. Again, our testimony tonight, or a word of prophecy. When Jesus said to the man, "Get up and walk," what was that? Was that a gift of knowledge, or a gift of healing, or a gift of faith? Or is that a silly question? They all run into each other, don't they? But the man's response was one of believing that and acting upon it. His faith was stimulated by the word of Jesus. Francis McNutt tells a marvelous story of a clergyman who was skeptical of supernatural healings. And so he preached a mock sermon one Sunday morning. He was mocking the whole business of God's healing people supernaturally. And he preached it in the best Oral Roberts tradition, and people got healed. Marvelous story. He didn't believe it, but it provoked faith. God used it to provoke faith in some of the hearers, and they received, even though the channel of that word was unbelief. Gift of faith. Gift of faith. Don't try to work it up. Don't try to whip it up inside yourself. It will be almost certain spiritual shipwreck. Sometimes when we care most about the situation, we're praying for ourselves, or we're praying for our children or a loved one, and we desperately wish that we had the faith to believe, we go through this psychological kind of a thing of trying to produce it, and that will not work. But we can ask God for the gift, and we can ask others to pray for us, and God will sometimes give supernaturally that kind of a gift of faith to believe Him for what He is about to do. And then your prayer suddenly changes from, "Oh Lord, please do thus and so," to, "Thank you, Lord. I don't know when, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I have that sense, that certainty, it is your gift. And I thank you before the fact." Some of you know about George Mueller. He was a great, great man of faith in the last century in England. He started orphanages all over the country. And George Mueller made it his practice never, ever to tell any human being his needs, financially or in any other way. And he operated the orphanages on the basis that God will provide for whatever we need, and we don't need to tell folks about it. And many, many, many was the night that they would sit down in the orphanage with an absolutely barren table, put out the plates, saucers, cups, silverware, and say grace over an empty table. Before they got finished, there was a knock at the door, and God had provided the evening meal. That's the kind of faith that George Mueller was known for. God gave him that gift, and he exercised it, and it grew and it developed. Eric Townsend was a CMS, Church Missionary Society, missionary in South Africa, and he was giving open-air meetings, and at one point he was just beginning this massive meeting. Thousands of people had gathered to hear the Word of God, and the skies opened up, and the rain just came down in a deluge, and Eric Townsend rebuked the rain, and it stopped. Like that. Gift of faith in operation. My favorite story, Bud Sickler, Elam missionary in Tanzania. An enraged lioness came dashing out of the jungle, heading directly for the congregation that had gathered to celebrate Easter. And a native pastor stepped forward and said, "Don't be afraid. The God who saved Daniel from the lion's den is here. You lion, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ." And a bolt of lightning struck her dead. Documented stories, every one of them. I could tell you lots of others. Missionary literature is filled with that sort of thing. And some of us have experienced perhaps lesser things, but like that. I told you last week about my friend Stu Anthony, remember, who was became the best man at our wedding. Stu told me that they were in a little village, and there was a child who was desperately ill. There was a doctor available, but the doctor had no medicine to treat that particular illness. And there was no way of healing this child except by God's supernatural grace. They prayed for the child. The child didn't get any better. Parents said, "Isn't there anything you can do?" And the doctor said, "Well, if only we had an egg. What's needed for this child is contained in an egg." They hadn't seen a hen in years. They prayed, and as they're praying, in comes a hen, jumps up on the bed, lays an egg. Somebody said, when you stop praying, the coincidences stop. Gift of faith. Gift of faith. Don't try to whip it up. But ask God to give it. And as He gives it, exercise it. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. As He gives it, speak it, stand on it, believe it, and watch it produce God's results. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, thank You for this additional demonstration out of the life of Jesus Himself of what it means to move under the anointing of Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that You will teach us. You'll teach many of us sitting here in this room tonight what it is to become men and women of faith, gifted by Your Spirit to believe You for great and mighty things for Jesus' sake. Amen.